Together. This week we're transitioning from Nazir to Sota. Usually when we think about that transition, we go in the opposite direction because of the way that the Torah presents it, which is Sota and then Nazir. So in Shas, it's the opposite. Remember the famous Drasha, which of course comes from Chazal, which we've seen, and we'll see again. But Rashi quotes, it became very famous. There's an association between the kind of behavior, unfortunately, that the Isha Sota got herself caught up in, and then sort of a natural response to that is a person wants to say, I don't want to go anywhere near that, not with a 10-foot pole, because you see the kind of damage that can happen to a person, to a family, to a relationship, you know, on that basis. So when we go in the other direction, the way that the Shas goes, which, of course, is Nazir and then Sota, that obviously is a very beautiful idea, but it doesn't have the same relevance. So what we'll see tonight is that there's another very important point of transition in the other direction, from Nazir to Sota in the following sense. Pointed out many times that one of the fascinating things about Nazir is that it's a man-made institution, like Nedarim in general, right? The Torah didn't come down and say that this apple is going to be prohibited, that in the case of Nazir, these grapes are going to be prohibited, etc. A person made a decision, and we talked about in our introduction to Masach the Nazir, is that a good decision? Is that a bad decision? Maybe, like the Rambam says, to review the share we had when we started Masach as Nazir, maybe it just depends on what the person's kavanos are, what the circumstances are, etc. Maybe we can't speak about it from a categorical point of view nearly as much, which is a very fair perspective. But what we're going to see is that when it comes to Sota, the opposite is really the case, that Sota is the ultimate divine institution, that it comes very much from the top down. And the Ramban has a very, very, very important insight in that regard, as we'll see, where the Ramban is able to point out to us just how different it is than the world of Nazir, which is very much a man-made institution. Just to review, one of the halachos that we saw very recently, those who are, you know, working their way to the end of Nazir, is a principle of mufla samach l'ish, being a din d'oraisa, that you can have somebody who's not bar mitzvah, who's able to create a neder on a d'oraisa level. And the question is, you know, where does that come from? We have a din b'chol terakula that you have to be bar mitzvah for things to really count. So all of a sudden when it comes to Nedarim, we can break that rule. So obviously that requires, you know, some thought, like why would that be the case? But the answer is very obvious. And the answer is that this isn't a Torah institution, meaning the Torah didn't compel you to take this Neder. So when the Torah makes rules, the Torah says, you're only chayav from the age of Bar and Bat Mitzvah. If somebody wants to take something on themselves, so then we ask a different question. Are they a Bar Hachi? That's sort of mufla samach l'ish. We evaluate them to see whether they have sufficient basis in das to be able to take a neder, including the neder nazir, isho isha ki afu lindor neder nazir, and it could be chal midaraisa, because again, you're opting into the system, you're not abiding by it, nobody forced you to do this, and in many respects to the contrary. So that's, again, just a case in point, proof of concept, if you will, that Nazir and Nedarim are really driven by a human initiative, and we'll see that Sota is very much from a different perspective. So let's begin with a line in the Mishnah, towards the very end of the Masechta. I feel a little bit like the Rav said about Masechta Gittin, that Masechta Gittin was written backwards. Daf Tzadi is after discussing all of the mechanics of how a get works and under what circumstances, etc. So the Gemara in Daf Tzadi, which is the final blot in all of Masechta Gittin, finally gets to, well, when is it appropriate for a person to say this is not the right marriage? This is a three-way machlokes beis Hillel, beis Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva. So the Rav quipped that the Masechta must have been written backwards, right? He should probably start there with the fundamental issue, right? You know, do we want to proceed, right? So I feel a little bit like that, because this is actually the very end of the Masechta. But you'll see why it's so important. This is, in some ways, if you left this to the end, you wouldn't appreciate Sota nearly the same way. So the Mishnah says, Misha Rabu HaMinafim, once Niyuf, unfortunately, infidelity became very prevalent, Pasku Hamayim Hamarim. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Hifsika. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, the Gadol Hador, said we're not administering Meisota anymore. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, again, he's the one that ushered the Jewish people through Churban Bayis Sheni, but he was on the scene, lived 120 years. The Gemara tells us he had Arichos Yamim Vishanim. So at an earlier stage in his career, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael was already going down a very bad path, and he was mafsik the Meisota. So this is always a very strange comment, and we'll only appreciate it over the course of the next 45 minutes or thereabouts. Like, you would think that this is totally counterintuitive. Like, when do you need the Meisota other than to put out the fire, right? The whole point of the Meisota is to stop this kind of behavior. So it's like saying, you know, once the fires really got so bad, we decided that we didn't need the fire department anymore, right? What's the higayon there, right? You should double the amount of firefighters that you have. They should have been running Meisota all day long. So what is that all about? So the truth is that we'll only understand this in the course of time, but let me just begin with the Ramban that proves a very important point. The Ramban writes, V'inein b'chol nishpatei HaTorah davar taloi b'nei zulas ya'in nezeh shu pelo b'nei zkavua she'yaseh b'Yisrael b'yosam rubam osim ritzon al shalmakam ki chafet saman tzidko. You could already see a hint, or maybe more than a hint, of where we're going to go with this, but the Ramban points out, b'chol tariyak mitzvahs, you don't have anything like sota. The mitzvah of sota, which is a remarkable thing, there's only one mitzvah saseh. There are some isurim that are associated with it, because the mincha of sota, there's an isur of shemen and an isur of lavona, so you get three of the mitzvahs of tariyak, but in terms of the overall din, it's one din in the Torah. So the Ramban says it's unlike the rest of the 613 commandments, midaraisa, because this one is taloi b'neis. If you go rack your brain right now, you start going through all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So you count through the Rambam Sefer mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is, right, Emunah b'Hashem, and the second mitzvah is Yichud Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Avodas Hashem, and Dveikus b'Hashem, and Shvuah b'Hashem, v'shem Hashem, and then Lidamos b'shem Hashem, and then Kiddush Hashem, and then Kriyat Shema, and Talmud Torah. You could go through all of them. You're not going to find another one.
What would be the next?
So the fact that these waters, when they go inside the woman, she, yeah, the meets a very, she meets a very, you know, ghoulish end. What do you want to say?
Unpleasant.
Yes, unpleasant, I think, is a fair term. I don't want to exaggerate, but I think unpleasant is a very, right, a bitter end, if you will. Okay, so the Ramban is pointing out that there's something miraculous about this institution. That will be a linchpin for us. The Ramban further has another really astonishing insight, where the Ramban writes, this is going back actually to Sefer Shmos, even though Sota comes up in Parshas Naso and Sefer Bamidbar, but the Ramban points out, and we'll get back to this image a little bit later, regarding, you know, the Mei Sota. So anybody remember, where did the Mei Sota come from? From the Kior, right? The Kior is the special kli that the Kohanim used to be Mitar themselves, and if they didn't be Mitar themselves, so they would be chayv misa b'dei shamayim, very serious aveira, b'yas mikdash or avoda, without taras yadayim v'raglayim, b'vawam el ohol moed, yirchatsu mayim v'lo yamusu. So the Ramban starts talking about the women who donated these maros nechoshes, and he writes the following. And again, we'll come to the famous drashos of Chazal, hopefully by the end of this year. B'tachin och nemar b'derech apshat. This is the third source. Shasakir v'chanu mimaros anashim asher bo mehen sova gadol. A huge crowd of women came. V'nasvul pesachol moed lases marosayen benidvas liban. V'haya nechoshes hamaros nechoshes klal memorad v'yafem me'od. It was bronze or copper of the highest quality. V'alken yichid oso mitzchila l'kli hazeh. And it was therefore determined that this should go to not just, you know, like the Avodas HaMishkan in general, but it should really go to its own kli. It's like if a person is donating something today to a shul, it's a really nice donation. You want to give something of their own. You don't want it to just be to the general operating fund, and maybe it's a base medrash, maybe it's an Arun Kodesh, whatever it is. So the idea of the Ramban is that this was a very beautiful nedava, and they wanted a kli which was miyuchad to be mazkir that point. V'anashim b'rosan kein nesvos u'bovos tzivos tzivos laseiz kulan marsosein liosos behen kolakir v'chano. And then the Ramban says something which I think is just really extraordinary. V'gam nachon hu shiyizkavnim b'kach mitzchilo v'mdei inin hasota v'hen kiblu kein aleyam b'simcha v'isnadvu laseiz bo kol marosein. So it's an amazing idea that the Ramban is developing, that the women somehow understood that this kli would be used one day to test, to be bodek, an isha sota. So you would think that they would they would write it into the bylaws of their donation. This donation cannot be used for a mei sota, right? But it was actually fakeret. It was just the opposite, right? That the nashim tzidkaniyos were so makbid on Tara Shal Yisrael that they wanted to be the ones. It shouldn't come from the men. This was the ultimate self-policing act, that they should be the ones to donate these maros, that everybody should realize that these are the standards that the Nashim themselves stand for. They don't need any men to police them in this regard. I think it's very, very important and very, very, very beautiful, you know, idea. And especially, just again, not to get too deeply into the Divrei Agada for now, we should save that for the end, but you can't help myself a comment. Remember that by the Egel Azav, the women would not give up their jewelry. For that, they're not prepared to part with their tachshitim. But if it's for the sake of tahara, for the sake of fidelity, right? They're more. It's not a din in them giving up their jewelry. It's a din in what for? What are you raising the money for? And that's a very important idea. So we'll see. Now we're going to get into a critical halachic part of the discussion, and then we'll come back to some of these ideas. The Ramban saying that it really relies on an ace, and the idea that it came from the Nashim themselves, and hopefully the contrast from Nazir will emerge in a very, very, very clear kind of a way. So the Torah tells us at the very end of the section of Sota, Zos Torah Sakno, Shatertista, Isha Tachas Isha Benitma, O Isha Shertavor Lavruach Kinov Kineis Ishto, Ve Midas Aisha Lifnei Adonai, Ve Asala Koyen Is Kola Torah Hazos, Viniko Ha Ish Me Avon, Avona. So there's this concluding phrase in the Torah, which is very elusive, very ambiguous. The Torah tells us, "Vinika ha'ish me'avon." From the language of Naki, he will be absolved of sin. So what exactly are we talking about that he will be absolved of sin? So Rashi says, "Imbadku amayim al yidag lomar chavti b'misasa Naki hu mina onesh." So Rashi's first interpretation is as follows, that there would be feelings of guilt, after all. You know, he was married to this person, and here, to quote Tim, right, she meets a very unpleasant end, not just an end, but a very unpleasant end at that, and he feels very badly. And so, v'nika ha'ish me'avon means that he shouldn't carry around the guilt. Ha'isha ha'hi tisa sabuna. She brought this on herself. Dvar acher, Rashi says, but maybe it means something, you know, really completely different. The opposite scenario, where she was innocent, and then the guilt would be that much greater, right? That it was a false suspicion, as it were. Mishi ashkenatia etzla beheter v'nika me'avon sha'asota asura labayla. That he has to know from that point on, the iser, there's an iser minatora, acharei asher hutama, there's an iser sota labayla, until you clarify things, but normally a woman is always permitted to her husband. I'm not talking about issues of nida, but a woman is always permitted to her husband. But once there's a chaloshem sota, until the waters clear things up in one direction or the other, so there's an isser minatora that they could be together. So now we say that nikah ish me'avon, once she's had the mei sota has been bodeker and she's found to be innocent, so he has to know that there's no more isser at this stage. Just one second, Elliot. I'm just going to get in the Rashbam. The Rashbam is Rashi's grandson, writing in light of his grandfather's two Perushim. It says, Afal Pisha Garam La Puranos. He's going in the kivun of the first Shita in Rashi. This is the sixth source in your Makoros. Al Yidei Kinoi Shekine Ba. Right? So that he shouldn't believe that he's guilty of any sin for carrying through this process. Right? Because you would think that, you know, he's again, in his own mind, he's saying, I should have been mochel, why did I have to go through with it? We could have handled it quietly to bring it to the, all these different kinds of things, you know, that people, any normal person would think about. So, v'lin nirav v'niko ha'ish me'avon, shelo saval ishto lios mezana tachtov, v'ilu shasak lo haya minuka me'avon, shi asura lo, elahiti sa'as avona sharei zinta lefikach kibla puranusa. So, the Rashbam says, I'm very, very, very partial to my grandfather's first interpretation. And the opposite would have been the sin. Meaning, had I tolerated this, had I allowed this to go on and just been quiet about it, that would have been terribly sinful. That not only was it not a sin to bring her to the Beis HaMikdash and to initiate the Sota protocols, but that was what was obligated. And the opposite. Sometimes kim hachareish tacharishiboy sazos. Sometimes silence is really not an option, and to allow this to go on is really a disgrace. The Rashbam wants to go very much in that direction. Elliot, please go ahead.
Two quick points. The first with Rav Yochanan being Mafsik Sota, it kind of reminds me of Hillel being Metakin Prusbul. You suddenly have a practice that's being violated, a Torah practice, halacha, that's being violated in large numbers. So Hillel said, okay, we're going to abolish it, forget it, we're going to allow debts to continue. And the same here, how did they come along with what authority and to be
okay, so that's what we're going to see. Good, good, good. So that's the basic contribution of the Ramban, as we're going to see. I just wanted to clarify. Hillel, it's just important everybody should understand this. Hillel was responding to the fact that there was a much worse Isser Daraisa that was being violated. It's true, the Torah tells us that there's a din of Shemitas Ksafim, okay? But just taking the opportunity, I didn't expect to address this at all, but people have to understand that the Torah says the worst Avera, one of the worst Averos, a terrible, terrible Avera in Parshas Re'eh is when people are not extending loans to the poor. The Torah calls it a davar Belial, means it borders on Avodah Zarah, because the only time Belial is used in the Torah is in the context of the Ir Anidachas, Pen Yayim Levavcha Devar Belial Lemoar, Karvash Nasa Sheva Shnasa Shmita Verayin Chabi Achi Chabion Velosi Tenlo Vekara Alecha LaHashem Vayabecha Chait. The Torah says you're going to be in terrible, terrible tzaris if you do this Avera. So Hillel came onto the scene, everybody was violating this Avera. Then the Shemitah year was getting close, nobody was giving poor people loans. So Hillel had a choice. He could either allow that to go on, or he could try to be mezakeh es harabim. Hillel didn't come along and say, let's all have a great time and cancel Shemitah's Ksafim. And Hillel came onto the scene where there was a chorbin. There was a total chorbin going on. So people should just understand that, okay? It's not, this wasn't like, it's a little different than what we're talking about in terms of Sota. It's a good and fair question. It's a very good and fair question. What was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thinking? Like I said, it seems counterintuitive. The more fires there are, the more you should invest in the fire department. Why the Batlu Me Sota? So we're going to get there. We just have to see what we're talking about. Okay, yeah.
Question with when the Torah talks about kinah, are we talking about your garden variety of jealousy, or is it more?
No. So what you're going to see in the Masech, it's a very formal process. There was a warning that's administered, and there's a very specific warning regarding a particular man. So we're not talking about something which is cavalier. There is a protocol and a procedure. But afal pichein Eliot, as we said, after the fact, one can imagine a husband feeling terrible guilt. So Rashi says he shouldn't feel guilty about it, and the Rashbam says not only should not feel guilty about it, what would have been the guilt is actually in the opposite direction. That he would have had, you know, a real sin to account for had he remained silent. So let's move forward a little bit. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Sota, Adaf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara, this is where the Mishnah is quoted. Like I said, it's at the very end of the Masechta, which is, you know, the value of these shiurim, so you could get a little bit of an overview perspective before launching in. Misha Rabu Anuafin Tanu Rabbanan Vinika Ha'ish Me'avon Bizman Sha'ish Menuka Me'avon Amayin Bodkin Esishto and Ha'ish Menuka Me'avon Ein hamayim bodkin esishto. So an amazing interpretation. Our clause, v'nikoha ish me'avon, which we've now seen analyzed, three different shitos between Rashi and the Rashbam, the Gemara says that the mei sota are not going to be bodik this woman. We'll have to figure out what that means exactly, but it's not going to be effective if the man is guilty of similar behavior. Bizman sha'ish menuka me'avon, only if the man has conducted himself properly in the context of the marriage, are the Mei Sota going to have any efficacy whatsoever? Ve'omber lo efko, this is a pasuk in Hosea, al benosechem kisizneneve, al kolosechem kisina'afna, kehemi mazono ziparedu, v'imakadesho sizabecho, ve'am lo yavin yilabet. Okay, this is the pasuk. Mai ve'omber v'chisema avon didei in, debane dubnase lo, tashma lo efko al benosechem kisizneneve, al kolosechem kisina'afna. Meaning it's not just a question of his sin, but if he, let's say, is as the patriarch of the family, is tolerating immoral behavior going on in the family writ large, then he has no right, he has no claim to be able to bring this woman to the Beis HaMikdash and subject her to the Sota protocols, because he's essentially a hypocrite. He's either a hypocrite for his own behavior, or he holds his wife to a standard that he doesn't hold his own sons to, he doesn't hold anybody else in his circles to. V'chisema avon esh esish in avon depnu yalo tashma, kehemi mazano si paredu v'kdesho si zabecho. So mai v'am lo yavini laved, amr blazar amla nabi Yisrael, imatem akpidin alatz mechem, mayin bodkin nishosecham, bim lav, en amayin bodkin nishosecham. You want this process to work for you, So there's a certain standard that you have to observe. The Rosh, this is not in the Piskei HaRosh, but in the Tosfos HaRosh, comments, this is, you have it in the ninth source, Hadar min hachad v'avon b'nosav v'chalosav en amayin bod kines ishto hadu davka kishe yodeya v'eno mocha. So very much along the lines that we saw in the Rashbam, here sometimes silence is really not an option. So if this guy is unaware, he's ignorant of things that are going on around him, all right, so that's one kind of a problem, right? That's not a very healthy role model. A father has a responsibility to know what's going on with his kids and what's going on with his family. But that's not what we're talking about, the Rosh says. The Rosh says is that he's willfully turning a blind eye to immoral behavior in his family, and then he wants to pounce, you know, on his wife. So that's an unacceptable stira. That's a kind of a contradiction in his behavior. How does the Rambam come down the halacha? So the Rambam paskins, and this drew the Rav's attention for reasons that we're not going to get into right now, but kol isha ba bia asura miyama v'achar shehigdil ein hamayim hama'arin bodkin es ishto. Filu ba la rusasa v'es chamiv shasura midivrei sofrin ein hamayim bodkin es ishto shenamar v'nika ish me'avon isha ahi tisa es avona bizman sha ish minuka me'avon ha'isha nosa es avona. The Rambam has the most dramatic expansion of this particular halacha imaginable, that if at any point, it could be that he's in his 60s now, okay? But from the moment of bar mitzvah on, if he was ever over a biyasura, even midirabanan, the mayim are not going to be bodek his wife. In other words, you cannot subject your wife to this process. Forget about, you know, you're actively engaging in all kinds of terrible dalliances that are completely connected the halachic system, and you're a real hypocrite because, you know, you're doing this all the time, and now you drag your wife into the Beis HaMikdash. We're saying that the Mei Sota are on such a rarefied level that they're not going to, so to speak, work for anybody, you know, who hasn't earned that degree of, you know, of Tahara. And that's defined as Bia Asura Miyamav, even if it's only an Isser Midirabanan. Okay, so that is a remarkable perspective. And like we said, according to Tosfos Rosh, you know, if we're not talking about anything untoward that he did, right, it would have to be something where he was Yodeya Ve'eno Mocha, where he knew exactly what was going on and he chose to turn a blind eye. So if you take a look here at the Ramban where we started, so now we'll put it in a much broader context and we'll see, you know, how things at least begin to come together in terms of Sota being the only mitzvah in the Torah that's taloi, dependent on an outright miracle, an ez galoi. So the Ramban writes the following: Aldas kol meforshim minchas kenaosu. We describe the carbon mincha associated with the sota as minchas kenaos, of zealousness. Lomar bavurjos a mincha minchas oneshi geru alios seorim. Right, the Rashi quotes this, for example, he asas a maisa behema, so you bring karban mimachal behema from the seorim, below shemna levona, ki amincha asher azkarasa, leratzon la'ashem, ba asola schitim b'shemna levona. So he says the conventional wisdom on this topic is that we call it a minchas kenaos because it's a maskeras avon. It really relates to her sin that she conducted herself in such an unfaithful way. She didn't live up to the standards of Bnos Yisrael as they were, and therefore she has to bring a korban mincha, which is really a disgraced korban. It's from the seorim, it's not from the chitim, which is very unusual. Anybody happens to remember, because it's coming up, what's the only other mincha that we bring from the seorim, which isn't the korban yachid, the korban omer, excellent, right? Which is a really interesting discussion, but this is without shemen, without lavon, it's like a disgraced korban. So the Ramban says he disagrees, okay? V'idati tam ki minchas kenosu yachsel rosh ha-pasuk. Yomer shiyavi ha'ish is a korban al ishto. The kina relates not to her, but to him. Kilomar bimkoma, ki minchas kinoos hilahaskar avona, v'inenu ra'i shetivienu hi mishala, v'ahu yakriv mincha l'shem. He brings this mincha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shiakani es kinato, kinaso v'yinkom es nikmaso mimena, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should avenge, you know, his dignity in this situation. V'tam ha-se'orim, what's the se'orim? It doesn't relate to her maisa behema, but the Ramban says it's a different imagery and symbolism altogether. Shetia saras chemas Hashem chamayotze sar mischol al rosh harisha'a yachol ke'inyan slil sa'orim ha'amor begidon. If you remember in Sefer Shoftim, Gidon had a dream of this massive ball of barley that rolled over the Machaneh Midyan. The Midianites were oppressing the Jews in those days. So the image of the sa'orim is that God should basically steamroll this woman, okay? And that God should thereby vindicate his dignity. Shapasro Salasar Muhuma Rabba Vachin Bikli Kharas Siman Shatishaver Kihliotzer Vachin Afar Ki Afar Hivel Afar Tashuv. All the symbolism connotes what Tim would call her highly unpleasant end. Vihine. Now you'll see where I excerpted this line from, and everything hopefully will begin to form a coherent picture. Ein b'chol mishpatei haTorah davar talu b'nei zulasi inin hazeh. Shehu pelo b'nei kavua she'aso b'Yisrael b'yosam rubam osin ritzono shel makom. The mei sota were only given to be operative in a society that deserved such intensive hashras hashchina. It was never given for a society where there was widespread disregard for some of the most basic laws of the Torah. And as such, we can now understand, right, that halacha that we started with, Misha Rabu Ha Menafin Batlu Mei Sota, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, wasn't so much making the takana, but just, right, sometimes you think about Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai in particular making takanos, right, the takanos that he made Zechel Mikdash and Zechel Churban, and that Sheilulav Nital Kol Shiva, and all of these kinds of things that Yochanan Ben Zakkai did, which were very important. So this is not so much Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai making a takana, but rather him acting as the umpire, in the boxing match, right? The umpire doesn't decide that this guy won. He just calls the match when, it's clear, he just starts, he goes in, he waves his hand, says, okay, we've reached that point in society where it's no longer viable. We're now no longer a society that's deserving of this nace. That Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift, that we should have this miraculous institution to be able to maintain our standards of Taras HaMishpacha. But if we have let go of those standards at the collective national level, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to pull off the miracle for us. Unakos Yisrael mina mamzerus, because of course through Eishes Ish comes mamzerus, sheyiruyim lahashra shechina besocham, because the Gemara comments that where there are mamzerim, there's no hashras hashechina, and hashechina shora, ela al mishpachos miyuchas shebi Yisrael. Lefikach, pasakin in nezah, misha shenizkalkulu baveros, kemo sheamru, and therefore it stopped, naturally, misha rabo anuafim pasku meisota. Shenamar, lefkod al benos seichem, ki tiznenev al kalos seichem, ki sina eifna, This isn't to excuse them and to say, oh, now anything goes. Of course, they're still guilty of terrible sins. But it's not going to come through this miraculous mesota. It's going to have to come through other means. And the Jewish people, unfortunately, did not live up to this standard, and therefore, like anything in life, when you don't value it, eventually you lose it, and then you realize what you didn't appreciate. A nation that failed to understand, we will be hoisted by our own petard, we will have dug our own grave, we will be caught in our own foolishness. V'niko ha'ish me'avon, b'zman ha'ish ha'ish minuka me'avon, mayim bod k'nes ishto. Ein ha'ish minuka me'avon, ein ha'mayim bod k'nes ishto. V'nikayon hu, shelo ba aleha, mishakini la v'nistera. So the Ramban, much less ambitious here than the Rambam, says that if he had bia with her after, declaring her a sota, so that's a violation of his Torah. V'yesh before Hashem, but he's very aware of the sheet of the Rambam. Shim ba'al habal shum be'ila asura kol yamav, that's the Rambam, me'mayim bod k'nosa. Now this is the Gemara Mem Zayin that we saw. So just to summarize, and I see Aaron has a question, that the Ramban's Shita is remarkable. So the Ramban says like this. Nazir, as we spoke about, that's a human initiative, okay? So a person decides, Isho Isha Kiafi Lindor Neder Nazir. Sota is the opposite. Sota comes from God. It's a gift from God. God says, if you are doing everything as an individual, and collectively as a society, to insist on real standards in terms of family values, then I'm going to help you out in terms of preserving that in society. If you don't do your part, then I'm out of here. And Misha Rabu Hamanafin Batlu Meisota. So what we saw is this absolutely magnificent Ramban. So the Ramban says, yeah, on a microcosmic level, you could have most Jews behaving the right way, so the Meisota are still operational. But what do we say? V'niko ha'ish me'avon, b'zman she'ish minuka me'avon, hamayim bod k'nes ishto. So at a microcosmic, individual level, the mesota are only functional if this individual and his family lived up to those standards. But then there's a whole different level, which is the national level, where at some point, where it's no longer this guy and that guy and that guy, it's not just a series of individuals, but moral standards in society have just decayed and regressed, so then there's no basis for mesota altogether. So Elliot, this is the answer to your question. It wasn't like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came in and said, that's it, no more mesota. He was just reflecting, right, the clear, very unfortunate, this is a sad thing, but we can't put the wool over our eyes and be Pollyannish about it, right? There's no basis to administer the mesota where there's no hashras hashchina. If 7 out of every 10 times you give a mesota, they're not going to work because this guy isn't menuke me'avon, so then there's no basis to administer them in the first place. It's a false test. It's a false positive, it's a false negative. None of it makes any sense anymore. Aaron, please, go ahead.
Yes, just parenthetically, don't you have the same sort of, with tzaras and Lashon Hara, isn't that a gift also that was there for a time but no longer was available as a means of, you know, rectifying, bad speech? So
right.
In that way, it's analogous to sota in that it was there, but it's no longer there.
Yeah, one can definitely think about it along those lines, you know, in terms of, you know, maintaining a certain social standard, especially, you know,
right.
In terms of Lashon Hara. So I think that's an important...
And was that a gift from Hashem as well?
No, but the Ramban doesn't use that language. The Rambam actually, at the end of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, the very last halacha, if you take a look, so the Rambam, in certain ways, comes close to saying that. Where the Ramban, he doesn't quote a gift, but he says you have to understand the way that this all works is that Hashem is sending a message. So, you know, you can look at all of those things in some sense as, you know... Okay, so I'm just going to finish the thought, and then we'll try to take, you know, all the further questions at the end. So what we really saw here is that there's a very critical and by definition unique aspect of sota, which is that it really represents a very high degree of hashras hashchina. Maybe that's what can help us understand the fact that it takes place in the Beis HaMikdash, right? You ever ask yourself, you know, of all the places in the world where we're going to administer this mayim, it seems a little bit strange to do it in the Beis HaMikdash. Granted, the Karban Mincha could be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but there's a lot that can happen outside. Just go outside and do it, or, you know, we have this model so many different times in Halacha, whether it's the Seir LaAzazel, whether it's the Parah Aduma, whether it's the Egla Arufa. There's a lot of things that can take place outside of the Beis HaMikdash where necessary. But if you understand that it's Hashras Hashchina, the fact that it takes place in the Beis HaMikdash obviously comes into much, you know, sharper focus. What I want to try to just wrap up with is an insight that Rashi draws from the Tanchuma, which takes us back to the other really beautiful observation that the Ramban made, which is that the women, when they donated these Maros Nechoshes, may have had the Kiyor and the Mesota in mind. So there's a story there, which is the following. Rashi quotes here, I think it's well known. B'maros hatzovos b'nos Yisrael hayu b'yadan maros sheroos b'henik shem niskashos v'af osam lo'ikim l'havim l'nidvas ha'mishkan v'ya moes. Very strong language. Moshe was really repulsed by this donation. V'nei sha'asuyin li'yitzer har'am lo kadosh baruch hu kabel. So Moshe comes in for some tochacha, chaviven ala yoser minakol. These are the most precious to me of all. Shal yudeim hamidu anashim tivos rabos b'mitzrayim kshayu baleim migayim b'avodas parach. The Jewish people had reached the breaking point in terms of, you know, yiyush. They'd given up on any future. We're not judging. This is just an observation that Chazal are making. Hayu hochos umalichos lehem achal mishta machilos osam v'dot los amaros.
Right,
v'zeshenemar b'maros hatzovos. So Rashi quotes this beautiful Agada that these maros, you know, were so beloved to Hashem because they stood for the familial bond. When the men had given up, and we all remember the Gemara in Sotah, but the Gemara tells us that Amram separated from Yocheved. Amram, you know, couldn't imagine bringing children into such a debased, you know, world. Amdu chulan v'gershuas nishosayim, that all of the men of that generation followed suit, and, you know, the Jewish future was literally going to be over before it started. And then, you know, Miriam intervened in her way, and eventually Amram gets back together with Yocheved, and that's the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the whole story. In any event, the mirrors played a very important role in this process. And the mirrors stood for the incredible devotion that these women had to the idea of the Jewish family, and, you know, through each Jewish family, obviously, the continuity of Klal Yisrael as a whole. So what you really have here isn't opposites, I think, but two sides of the same coin. What does the mirror reflect? The mirror reflects this idea that the women stand for Taras HaMishpacha. They stand for the centrality of family. So not as the opposite of that, but Mamela, when there's a woman who breaches that protocol, who breaks that standard, and especially according to the Ramban, they gave it al tanai that it should be used for these purposes. They wanted to continue that legacy. And that is, excuse me, itself a really, really important point. The women themselves and these mirrors really stood for something very important. And just to, you know, make a one final observation in this regard, the fact of the matter is, and Tanchuma says it explicitly, this isn't just any kli in the Beis HaMikdash, but this is the gateway kli. You don't have to use the Mizbeach HaKtoras every day if you're just a regular Kohen. You don't have to use the menorah every single day. You don't have to use the Shulchan every day. You certainly don't have to use the Aron every day. You know, you don't even have to use the Mizbeach every day. The Kohanim had many different jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. The one kli that each Kohen had to encounter every single day was the Kiyur. And this was the source of Tara. So this wasn't just any kli, but this was the kli that makes all other avodos possible. This is the kli shel Tara. So rather than, you know, it reflecting any negative associations, it's actually a statement about the refinement and the purity of Klal Yisrael, which of course is the foundation of any aspirations that we have for Hashras Hashchina, for, you know, being able to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not in the end, as we suggested, like the fire starting and canceling, you know, the budget for the fire department. That's not the idea. The idea is that if Klal Yisrael maintains our moral standard, by and large, there are always going to be exceptions, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come in from the top down and help us. Nazir from the bottom up, so it's very much from the top down. And he's going to help us maintain, you know, lo samanu kimishpechos adama, that we have our own moral standards. However, if that's not something that we take responsibility for, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to, you know, play a role in that regard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this respect, spiritually speaking, is perfectly willing to help those who help themselves, but unwilling to intervene in the context of a society that doesn't really value, you know, purity of values. Learning Sota, in that respect, is really a reflection of a very basic and very critical idea in Hashkafa, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives, and this is something that the Ramban writes about in many different places, is largely, speaking of mirrors, a mirror, a reflection of our desire for his involvement in our lives. If we aspire towards Dveikos Bashem, as the Ramban notes, then Hashem involves himself more in our lives. The Ramban writes of Avraham Avinu in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Yudches, Ki Yedatev Leman Asher Yitzavez Banaves Beso Acharav. The Ramban says, most people are not Zocha to Hashgacha Pratis. Most people are not Zocha to miraculous divine intervention in their lives. So why was Avram zocha to that? He says the answer is very simple. Avram spent his life attempting, aspiring, aiming for Dveikus Bashem, and therefore God was more present in his life than he would be for the average person. And what's true individually is true collectively as well. The absence of Mesota to this day, Ad V'Ad Bichlal, is not a reflection of divine choice, but is a reflection, mirror image, if you will, the Maros, of our collective choices. And here, I think it is important to conclude with just one final observation along these lines. It's not an accident, at least not to me, that the one mitzvah in the Torah, which is taloy on a miracle, as the Ramban observes, has to do with Jewish standards as far as Taras HaMishpacha is concerned. There is a basic recognition, I think, through the institution of Sota, that the world is a very complicated place where there's a constant push in society for lowering of standards, particularly in this area. Klal Yisrael, with thanks to the Nashim Tzidkaniyos that we just read about in Mitzrayim, and let's not forget with Pesach coming up, Bischar Nashim Tzidkaniyos Nigalu Avosenu Mitzrayim, they were the ones who really achieved it all. Klal Yisrael was able to be formed along very different lines, a different kind of a standard that has been at the core of our national identity from the very beginning. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, as long as you make every attempt to live up to that historical standard, I'm willing to pull off a miracle to help you along the way. Because there really is something quite miraculous about it. For us to be able to be different in this regard, it requires courage, it requires obviously discipline in all cases of the individual, and it really requires a clarity of vision and understanding that what's important is not a momentary gratification type in the moment, but creating an ethic which supports the cohesion of families, right? Of course, you can't ignore that in this discussion, right? That fidelity within a union is absolutely essential to the sanctity and cohesion of the family, halachically and otherwise. And in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was and remains objectively willing to help us as long as we're willing to honor, you know, the origins in Tahara of Klal Yisrael. And so the entire experience of learning Masechta Sota in that regard, thanks to the Ramban's observation, becomes a reflection on the centrality of this area in life. Tosfos Nazir Beis Amud Aleph, especially those who are in our Daf Yomi group, we kept on talking about this, you know, wonders why Masechta Nazir, with its very heavy emphasis on korbanos, both the Nazir Shenitma and the Nazir who successfully at Yom Los Yemein Israel, why is this not in Seder Kachim? Sota returns us very, 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 very much to a discussion of Seder Nashim. Sota reminds us, it's the exception that reinforces the rule, you know, regarding family purity, regarding the idea of Taras HaMishpacha, and that ultimately Hashras HaShechina within any particular marriage is a direct function of the Tara, of the standards that exist Bein Ish L'Ishto, far, far from the slanderous assertion that Sota is about discrimination against women. We understand, hopefully tonight, that it came, it was made by, for, and with the women. The women were the ones who insisted on this. And it's a reflection of a standard that the Nashim Tzidkaniyos introduced to themselves. They were the ones to hold themselves to that standard. They were the ones, ultimately, to introduce that into Klal Yisrael as a national standard. And all of us here, being from the other side of the fence, other side of the machitz, as it were, have a great debt of gratitude to the Nashim Tzidkaniyos for establishing that as part of our national identity. So I'll hold up my